What does loving your neighbor actually look like? This is Journey with Care, where curious Canadians get inspired to love others well through real-life stories and honest conversations. We are back with Journey with Care, and this is the final Jeopardy.
And oh my goodness, I'm so glad that people have been responding and sending in those questions. And this could be a fun episode because I don't know about you, but I haven't rehearsed these.
Well, you're not supposed to even look at the questions, so I hope you didn't rehearse them because that takes all the fun out of it.
Well, I'm telling you, I haven't. So I'm here. I'm going to come unfiltered.
In fact, we took questions and we threw them onto a randomized kind of Wheel of Fortune wheel. So we're going to spin the wheel. If you want to see what that wheel looks like, head over to our Sojourners group and you can kind of see what the questions look like there. You won't be able to read the full thing though, because there are some questions are pretty long and it's a wheel. So, but yeah, keep the questions coming because we have more episodes in the future and maybe this will just be a segment where we answer a question or two once in a while on our episodes because people have questions.
Well, and that's the type of audience we're looking for. We always say we want to be here for curious Canadians. And I think that's showing. People are curious. So that is awesome. Way to go.
All right. So again, this is our third episode. So we're just doing listener questions today. Next week is a special episode. We're on the road. We're actually driving 13 and a half hours down south, straight south from Winnipeg. One road to get there. Kansas City.
Autopilot.
Pretty much.
And you're doing most of the driving, I think. So this could be interesting. I hope your coffee is strong. Our conversation will be.
I could just take a nap and get you to the hold the wheel because it's really straight south. It's just.
Yeah, we could probably put a brick on the accelerator and we'd still get there in 13 hours because it's just due south. But don't worry, we'll be safe. But it's going to be a great time. And we are going to have some good conversation. We're going to turn the mic. We're going to be asking the questions to other team members. So what do you think about that, Johan? Is there something we could ask our audience to participate in?
Well, if they have questions for our team, maybe they want an inside scoop, a third-party perspective about what Wendy and Johan are like on the road or from someone else's perspective. But yes, we will have the studio in the vehicle on the trip, and we'll see how that goes. All right, let's get right on to our questions because we got a lot of questions here. We won't get through them all, but hey, we got questions for future episodes, so.
Bring it on.
Okay, let's start it off, Wendy. What's our first question?
All right, so the first question is actually addressed to both of us. So Johan, you and I are both going to respond to this. How has your perspective on podcasting changed since creating your own or hosting a podcast? Johan, you go first.
I mean, I've been hosting podcasts before Journey with Care and creating many podcasts because that's kind of my side hustle that I do. If you want to head over to ARC Podcasts and get some information on that, that's a shameless plug.
You're a good podcaster, but good podcast producer. And it shows you've been certainly teaching me how to sit on this side of the mic. For myself, I think I've always loved, well, not always, but I love listening to podcasts, so I was an avid listener of a variety of podcasts already, but when we started podcasting and I ended up being the host of this podcast, Journey with Care, one of the things that my perspectives changed is how vulnerable a person is on this side of the mic. They think, oh, well, it must just come naturally, right? And just having that conversation, part of it is true. I realize podcasting is easier than I thought it was because I know how to have a conversation. I think I do. And I know a lot of people. So I have often wondered what would it be like to capture some of those beautiful conversations and share it with others. So that part is beautiful. But I also realize how vulnerable I am to just put myself out there, have those conversations. It is candid. It is the real me coming there. And yet there's some vulnerability with that. Not everybody's going to like what I say. And it's so I have to get over myself, I think, is the biggest thing that I've learned. And Johan, you know what my greatest challenge has been. What would you say my greatest challenge has been in podcasting?
Introductions. Guys, you don't.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, if you were a guest on this podcast, you would know, because it probably takes 5 to 10 minutes to actually get the podcast started for Wendy sometimes.
I got to get in the zone. I know how to have coffee and have a conversation, but to bring you guys in, I want to make sure I overthink it.
But at the same time, Wendy,
yeah,
I think you've mentioned that since starting a podcast, your listening standards for podcasts has been brought up, or it's actually ruined some other podcasts for you that you previously liked.
You know, that is true. And head over to ARC Podcasts for your help, because there's been some I've discontinued because the static and the audio quality, I've all of a sudden realized that matters. And so I realize quality of podcasting, the production of it, that matters. And you've kind of set me up well here. So it's kind of dummy proof. I plug and play and I'm able to just talk and you do the back end of things. So I think we make a good team.
I don't think I actually answered this question, but I would say I've learned how to coach a little bit, which is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
You needed to. Yeah.
But you're doing great. In fact, my wife says she enjoys you as a podcaster. So that's high compliments for my wife.
Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Corey.
All right. Let's move on to the next question. This one's for you, Wendy, specifically.
Ooh.
Can you talk about your experience with community development?
Ooh, that's a big question. We could take over the rest of the episode on this. No, I won't. So to the question, my experience with community development, I think it's been a little bit of part of who I am in my adult years. I would say what led me into it would be my experience outside the classroom in Costa Rica, where I worked with children that were in a children's home. And they taught me that we need to deinstitutionalize care for children and how to do community development differently and some of those misconceptions. And so I also learned, had some experience in Bolivia working with youth in the urban core area of Santa Cruz, Bolivia, and in quite a bit of poverty and a neighborhood that even the police didn't go into, but we were planting a church. I was working with some indigenous pastors there, and I was doing a lot of relational development in that area. Very multicultural, various indigenous backgrounds, and learning to navigate the urban life that so many are forced to face. And so I learned a lot from that. And then I would say another piece was in peace mediation work as a delegate in the Middle East, in Palestine and Israel. So those are some experiences, just learning to de-escalate snipers and extremists, and having those conversations, sitting and having tea together, de-escalating places where there was a lot of hostility. I saw that. I saw how people were treated. I was right there and being able to be present. I learned firsthand what you don't see on the media. Don't believe everything you see on media, guys. It's propaganda so often. And talk with the people, get to know people. That's what I learned through community development. One of the main things, though, can I say one more thing?
Yeah, we'll see if I cut it or not, though, but go.
I can't go without talking about my experience here in Canada. My master's I did in global studies. So community development is something that I was working in and working to get better and learn more about, but I never expected myself to stay in Canada. And I found myself working with the Salvation Army in anti-human trafficking. And then I was working in community development as a director for a multicultural family center, which now is the Barbara Mitchell Family Resource Center. One of the biggest training things here in Canada was doing some green space development, a new building to facilitate community and working with so many different cultures coming into our Canadian context and learning how to create community amongst such diversity. And here also Indigenous people coming into the city and finding themselves in our neighborhood. And so that was a real teaching moment for me and grappling with some of our Canadian nuances. And so there's a lot here in Canada that I've been working through in community development as well.
You mentioned Bolivia. Our family talked about going there because we have one of our sponsored children that lives in Bolivia. So they'd be nice to visit there someday. But
some of my kids were sponsored. They had pictures of their families. They loved the letters they would show me. So I know those things matter.
Shout out to Mia. She's probably not listening, but
hola, Mia.
Your previous answer kind of rolls into the next question, which is also for you. Apparently you're popular, so
Oh, I wouldn't say that. They're just putting me on the hot seat.
You've used the phrase mutually transformative. I think you actually talked about that a little bit in your answer, getting to know people.
Mm-hmm.
Can you unpack what it means to you and for the church?
Ooh, mutual transformation. So that is a bit of community development, Christianese talk. But what I mean by mutually, and I actually have evolved in saying collective transformation, which is just more embracing the broader context, mutual be you and I, or that other entity and myself. Collective transformation would be everybody involved. So what that means to me is that when we're inviting the church into serving the community, we're not asking them to come with the capes on and fixing homelessness or fixing a family's dire needs so much as we're inviting maybe that single mom with the three kids and this church responder to journey together. We're making an introduction. And what I've seen over and over and over again, when we come in humility and in relational integrity, what is mutually transforming is that responder, that church that is walking alongside in mutuality with this mom who has gone through a hard time, both are impacted. That mom isn't just a charity case. She is teaching this church empathy and compassion and the love of God for all people that the church might have otherwise walked on the other side of the road, that the church might have unintentionally said, oh, that mom has to get her act together, or she should come into our church, to our children's program and learn how to discipline her children. There's a softening that happens when they're both being transformed. And yes, this mom is impacted. Of course, they have good sleep. So they no longer have to sleep on the floor. And now they suddenly have a stroller that she can bring them to daycare and she can get her schooling. But there's a transformation. When I say collective transformation, I'm talking about the social workers also impacted. It's just like, oh my goodness, there are people in our community I can turn to. There's people in the community that now can journey with this mom as well. And so I think there's a mutuality that happens in all people involved. That's what we want to go for. We're not trying to fix people or solve child welfare or solve homelessness so much as we're trying to bring people in mutuality, because we're all made in the image of God and created for connection. And I could go on, but I'm going to stop there.
I find hosting podcasts is actually mutually transformative sometimes, because you're asking mm-hmm. questions and getting curious, having a conversation with someone that has different stories. And okay, we got to have a fun question here, Wendy. That your last questions weren't fun, but spin the wheel. Let's go for it.
Let's spin the wheel again. Let's do a Johan question. So Johan, how has having 50 foster siblings, oh my goodness, 50, affected your perception of family and what it means to be inclusive? Good question, listener. So tell us a little bit about having 50 siblings.
I don't remember who sent this one in, but that's a tough one. I mean, 50 kids, you get so much diversity. We've had a lot of Indigenous kids in our household. So that's really helped shape what I do at Care Impact. Like, this podcast started, the first season was all about reconciliation. So that just brought up a lot of memories of some of my siblings growing up and some of the trauma that they've gone through. And it actually changed some of the perspective, because when you're kids, like, they don't necessarily tell you those stories when you're growing up. You're just, they're your siblings. You're outside playing street hockey and building
forts. And
probably
they don't even know, fully understand their own stories too, because it's can be so immediate.
Yeah, and you look back and you wish that you had the information you knew now, so that, like, you knew how to relate to them a little bit better. And, like, even going through some of the trauma care training, you begin to understand, oh, this is why they acted the way that they did. And back then you're like, why can't you just act a little bit nicer? I mean, my parents are pretty good. You should be a little bit nicer to them, but you don't know that as kids, right? So I don't know if I answered the question, but.
Yeah, I think you did. Are you in contact with any of them? I know some of them have come very temporarily, but have any of them stayed connected with your family?
Yeah, I have a brother that lives just outside the city, and he kept his last name, but, like, he's fully part of our family. We haven't legally adopted him, but he is part of our family. And now I have another brother in town who just bought my car to become a mechanic. He joined my parents' household after I'd moved out already. So he's actually friends with my eldest son. So they connect. So that's kind of cool. As for many of the other children that we've had in our household, we've come from Saskatchewan, so there's a lot of disconnect there. I hear stories here and there from my parents because they stay in contact with a lot of the kids, but me directly, there's only a couple that I still consider part of our immediate family, where we have family gatherings and they're all there. So,
how old were you when your family first started fostering, or is this all you know? You grew up with it.
I was probably around 6 or 7.
Okay, so fairly young.
Yeah, we had moved to Prince Albert, Saskatchewan, and that's where we started fostering. So
cool. So family gatherings, having or even sitting around the table, would you say that felt normal to have other people joining your family and being inclusive?
Oh yeah, it was normal having different people at the table every year because a lot of the children were transient too, going back home or just situations change, right? So.
Yeah, well, and I think that's a good point here. A lot of people might be wondering how, if I fostered or if I adopted children, how would it impact my biological family? And I would agree with you that as a currently adoptive mom myself, that it has positively impacted us. Yes, there's a lot of accommodations that you would have probably had to naturally grow up with, but it's actually probably made you a better person, I would venture.
Yeah, and I think
say.
I go into more detail in an episode I did with my parents actually talking about it. So if listeners are interested in this story, I'll put it in the show notes. I'll throw that one in the show notes and go have a listen to that. I'm not going to go too much longer on this because we probably will have another episode on it at some point. But
well, I have another question for you on a lighter note. What Indiana Jones props? You remember our previous episodes, we really got out the Indiana Jones side of you. But what Indiana Jones props do you have currently?
I mean, I have a fedora. I wouldn't say it's an Indiana Jones fedora, but I just love hats. So I have a fedora. So I wouldn't say that's a prop. I had a whip at one point, but it was too small. And
you grew out of it.
I was pretty proud of it, but there's not really any vines to swing from around the prairies. So felt kind of useless. I had the leather coat at one time, but you know, like, is it a prop? I don't know. I guess it could be when you put all these things together, right?
But yeah.
Anyway. Okay, we got a question for both of us. Let's do that one. Now this one seems a little, I don't know. What does a typical date night with your spouses look like? People want to get personal here.
Oh boy.
We don't usually do date nights. It's usually date days. And it might just be going for a coffee. It's kind of boring, but
yeah. Well, my answer isn't that much more exciting, although I will say Harold called me this morning, actually. He doesn't know these questions. He asked why don't we go for dinner tonight? There's a new Mexican restaurant, or new to us Mexican restaurant that we wanted to try out. And so he's like, let's go for Mexican food. And then you have work, I have work. And then why don't you come to my office? He's a psychotherapist and he has some sessions at the office tonight. Why don't you come and write your proposal in the next office next door? So that's a real hot date with hot sauce.
I should rephrase, our dates aren't boring. We just as a couple are boring and don't do exciting things.
You guys are fun. I would beg to differ, but maybe we should go on a double date sometime and we could watch Indiana Jones and do karaoke.
Although we did discover basketball last year because Winnipeg got a basketball team and it was a ton of fun.
And Harold got some tickets, some season tickets for the Sea Bears. And so I think our families are going to be going together. So that could be a good double date.
That'd be great. Yeah.
I'm there for the food.
Yeah.
Good question, guys. Thanks for putting that in.
All right. Next one. Spin the wheel.
All right. So this question is for both of us, coming in from one of our listeners. What are each of your favorite songs and why? Ooh, this is a hard one for me. I don't have a favorite song, Johan. With all integrity, I can't even give a favorite song because I don't really listen to music. Gasp, right? I have Spotify on sometime in the background. I could listen to it a million times and I still wouldn't know the lyrics. I'm more of a reader, a podcaster. music doesn't speak to me. I'm sorry.
I don't have, I mean, I'm a musician, but I don't really have any favorite songs. I would say my favorite artist right now is Jervis Campbell.
Oh, what kind of music is that?
I don't know. I'm an artist. You can't put me in a box, man.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a tough question. Can I answer this way? What kind of music I don't like? Because I could eliminate that. Don't judge me, but I really do not like country music. And I'm not a big fan of the 80s. Gasp, because my husband loves the 80s. He's still stuck there.
No Cyndi Lauper?
No.
Oh. Journey?
No. No.
But it's in our name.
Yeah, I like the name. Good name. It more for the branding, but...
Moving along. I think this one's from your niece.
Is it? Is it Ashley? It might be Ashley. Thanks, Ashley. I think you might have responded.
This is for both of us, though. It didn't say for both. It just had a question. What's your favorite and least favorite part about living in Canada? Mm. I've never lived anywhere else, so it's probably for you.
Well, my favorite, I would say, is the diversity that we have in our nation, that we can be fully our cultural background self, and it can be celebrated rather than mushed together into one big stew. And I love that we have relative peace, I would say. There's lots of undercurrents of unrest and reconciliation needed. But in general, I'm not looking behind my back, and my family is safe. So that is a great liberty that I don't want to take for granted. But my least favorite, you know, the older I get, the more wimpy I am with the cold weather.
Well, you do work out of a trailer.
I do. I work out here in minus 30 weather and I love it, but I've got the heater on and I'm a little bit hardcore that way. But by, you know, February, the novelty's worn off. I could really crank up the heat by February. I do like the change of seasons, but I don't really like the length of winter. Do you want to respond to that?
Well, I've only lived in Canada, so I don't know anything else, really.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been off this continent.
What? Oh, my goodness.
Unless
Johan,
you count dipping my feet in the ocean, but...
Yeah, well, maybe, but... Oh, we've got to get you overseas.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Someday. All right. Spin the wheel.
Okay. Let's do it.
Oh, here's a good question. Maybe a little deep again. Lots of deep questions. Especially that Indiana Jones one. How do Care Impact's core values guide the content and direction of the Journey with Care podcast? That's actually a very good question.
So this is a great question because this is something we've been actively doing over the past year, is clarifying what our values are, and not just like integrity, love, you know, those are obvious things that we should value, but what are the distinctives that sets Care Impact apart that truly we value and it helps us make decisions in what we do or don't do. So the three values, and then we can talk about it, Johan, I'd love your perspective. But the first value we talk about as a team is constructive disruption, in that we want to drive positive change for the flourishing of the whole church and the community. And we want to purposefully challenge norms that are ineffective and create some new possibilities.
This is why it's fitting that Care Impact has a podcast, because a lot of these are conversations. Like, these are important conversations that the church, the capital C church, necessarily isn't having. So we want to make sure that we're starting these conversations and getting people talking. That's why we say, get curious, because we want you to have these conversations at home with other people and with other people in your church. Like, let's just get talking about the elephant in the room. Because there's a lot of elephants in the church's rooms, large rooms.
There's herds of elephants.
Yes.
And when we talk about constructive disruption, we're not just doing it to tear down and to degrade the church, but there's a way to do it constructively that would actually give freedom and liberty and healing in our midst, in our communities, if we could disrupt those norms that really aren't working, those systemic norms that we don't even think twice about. We don't try to be racist. We don't try to be segregated. We don't try to do these things, but we behave in ways that endorse it. And so if we can challenge those assumptions in a good way, we can all be led into more peace-loving and flourishing communities.
And we're not talking about deconstructing our faith. We're talking about reconstructing what we already have into a more holistic biblical view, because not everything that we've been taught is the way that the church is meant to be. So we really love the church and we want to see the church thrive as God intended the church to be, right?
That's right. It's kind of like if I'm walking and in my shoe there is a pebble, rather than just getting blisters and sores and bleeding, let's talk about it. Let's get it out. That's a loving thing to do, right? It's not like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that you took your shoe off and took that out. We want to do that with the church. We want to say, okay, what are the pebbles that are rubbing society the wrong way? What are the pebbles that are rubbing your congregation in the wrong way? What are the things that are actually tearing us down that if we did things differently, if we clean this up, could we go further together? Okay, so the second value that we have identified is inquisitive innovation. And what we mean by that, we want to be good listeners. And I think that's why we're doing the podcast, to listen to people's stories, to help create better understanding. But we want to ask relevant questions. Also, it's a matter of taking informed risks as well, trying new things. That's what innovation is about, that apostolic vision to try new things and to see what are new ways that we can get to some of these rooted problems that we need to tackle within the church, within our society, and really to cultivate some breakthrough methods. We're not always going to get it right the first time, but we're going to keep trying and keep learning and asking and being informed along the way. And because I think that's the way we're going to overcome social barriers and create actually collective impact where we're all mutually, collectively transformed. There's that word again.
One of our goals is to be innovative, even in the podcast space. I mean, if you've listened to the podcast, we haven't broken tons of new ground, but like even starting the podcast, many people will Google, what's the best day to release a podcast? And I said, let's do the complete opposite of what of what Google will tell us to do, because we want to break some rules with this podcast. We want to do things that people aren't necessarily doing. So let's just pick Friday, because Friday apparently isn't a great day to release a podcast. So let's do it Friday.
Well, there's hardly anybody releasing on Friday, so let's try that.
And then journey with prayer. Like, that's something a bit different. Like, let's take our previous episode and give people an opportunity to bring them into a contemplative space where they can connect with God, go deeper with the content. Like, that's something a little bit more innovative that I haven't seen on another podcast. Innovative in that regard, sure.
Yeah, and I think the DNA of Care Impact has started off with the idea of what would happen if we brought these sectors together across denominations and across different social sectors doing a lot of things in the community. But what would happen if we helped integrate that, and how could we do that differently? We are able to blaze some new trails of saying, yeah, actually the church and these social service organizations, they can work well together. And if we create some resources and training, the church can do better when they know better. And so there are ways that we can innovate and nurture and challenge norms, but in a curiosity way. So we don't usually come up with brain ideas. It's usually from listening. The community has the answers. The people going through the hardship, they are the best people to listen to, because they understand what they're up against better than the people that mean well but aren't really walking in their shoes. So tell me more. What is it like? Tell me more, social worker, what is it like to be in your position? And that's actually how we invited Care Portal to partner with us here across Canada, is because I listened to the government, I listened to social workers, I listened to organizations and ministries that were doing a lot of good things, but they really could utilize community support in a meaningful, relational way. And so it was really out of just listening. So it's not rocket science. If you want to innovate, just shut up and listen.
Okay, Wendy, we have a third value. Let's quickly wrap up this question with that one.
Yeah, because we could probably go on a series on this, but the third value is radical collaboration. So we really mean radical collaboration. We want to work across denominational lines. We want to work across different sectors in society that even have different values than us, but we are part of this community. And so we're not asking churches to give up their values and their theological who they are. We're just asking, can we sit at the table together? And so we have been really working hard at doing some radical collaboration, finding the things we have in common, pointing us to the things we have in common so that we can work better together.
All right, spinning the wheel. Is there a dream guest you're hoping to bring onto the show? And if so, who?
To be honest, I'm not looking for celebrity guests.
Yeah.
Because I love finding beautiful stories, finding voices that haven't been heard necessarily or need to be heard more, and distinctly Canadian Indigenous voices, people from Canadian perspectives as well.
I like that answer. Let's go with that.
You do?
Because we're rule breakers, right? We don't want to just bring on right. The typical podcast host, Carrie Newhoff or whatever. But
yeah, because we listen to those too, and those are great. And I can learn from people that are more celebrity status. But I feel like there's some gold and some prophetic voices from some unexpected places. So we like to go there.
You want to spin the wheel, Wendy?
Okay. So, Johan, I think this question is for you. The question posed to you is, how do you see the podcast evolving in the next 5 years? 5 years is a long time. So how do you see Journey with Care evolving?
5 years is a long time, especially in content creation. Things evolve so much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there will be video. Like, we've talked about some of the things we've wanted to do in the podcast. So doing a live podcast, that would be something within the next 5 years.
That would be fun.
Maybe a Q&A like this in front of a live audience. That'd be fun. We do want to have more interaction, which is why we did the Sojourners group. So that's evolving right now.
Maybe even at a conference, doing a live segment there with an audience involved. That would be fun.
Yeah. We want to integrate our podcast into some of the courses that we're doing as well. Care Impact, some of the trauma care training, Care Journey for churches, small groups. These are all in development right now. So having the podcast integrated into some of the core things that Care Impact is doing in the community would be fun as well. And just keeping the conversations going within the churches, doing more podcast meetups where we meet around a table and hear other people's stories that won't necessarily be aired on the podcast. Maybe they will, but just to really build up those conversations and develop community and not just have voices that fall on deaf ears, right?
Yeah, because podcasting is so much more than just listening to an episode. We really are going after community building and relational building and breaking down some barriers. And oh my goodness, if I think 5 years from now, based on some of the developments that we're working on as a team in all the different areas, and podcast is really integral part of that, I'm excited for what 5 years will look like. But maybe we need to hear from the listeners. What do you want to see within the next 5 years? How we want to evolve? Because we will take those things into consideration when we hear from our listeners, how we can grow.
Okay. You can spin the wheel.
Okay, I'll spin it. Okay, the question is this. Wendy, guys, you are picking on me. Wendy, how do you find the energy to manage late nights and early mornings consistently?
Is this from your husband?
I don't know. Lord have mercy. How do I find the energy? I don't know if I find the energy. I just do what needs to be done. I naturally am a night owl, so I am creative. The house is quieter, and so there's a part of me that doesn't want to go to bed early because I want to embrace that time. Any other moms out there, give a shout out. Nighttimes are that time that I can have my space. And in early mornings, you just like giddy up. There's things to do. So how do I find the energy, though? I think coffee. I have to attribute lots to coffee, a lot to my genetics. So my parents are like that. My grandparents were like that. Not because they're workaholics so much as that they just loved life. Some people just have bigger batteries and they tolerate
more. Bigger coffee cups.
Bigger coffee cups, bigger batteries. We just, it's not a judgment on those who need their 8 hours. It's just, that's how we're wired. So that's how we flourish.
I would love to see a coffee company or something sponsor this podcast because like that's the lifeblood of what we do. So
yes.
If you know any coffee companies out there looking to sponsor a podcast.
Well, I think Johan, you and I would have to do a testing of their bean. To see what level of sponsorship we would want to engage in this partnership, because if we love the bean, my goodness, they're going to get mileage.
We have to approve. Like, Tim Hortons will never be a sponsor on this podcast.
No, don't even try us. You're beneath us.
Yeah, you're
Folgers, good luck. No.
Sorry for those listeners that like Tim Hortons.
They'll be the anonymous sponsors, because we couldn't
actually verbalize that. When we have podcast meetups, it will probably not be a Tim Hortons.
But if you have a decent bean, honestly, come talk to us, because we're probably going to become real good fans. We'll for sure be addicted to it. So you can count on us.
We'll even drink your coffee on the air.
Cheers to that.
Okay, I'm spinning the wheel. Here we go. Can you tell us more about what goes into the planning of upcoming podcast episodes and events?
That's a good one. I think I would say we just block out a session and we just jam all of our creativities out there, and we have an ongoing list. So we have more than enough series and topics and people that we want to draw from. It's just a matter of, okay, what do we want to do next?
Yeah, being a weekly podcast, it is sometimes challenging to schedule in those interviews and find time to edit them all to get them out every week, because it's two episodes a week, really, if you include Journey with Prayer.
That's right.
And there's a lot of work that goes into the episodes.
You have the bulk of the work. I just basically have to obey my schedule. When you schedule me in, you do all the admin with the guests, get their backgrounds and stuff. And I do come up with some of the series themes and the questions, but there I don't have a lot of prep to do other than guiding our guests in the direction that we're going to take the conversation in general. But I actually never know what is going to come out of that conversation. That's the mystery. But I basically show up, but you have to do a lot of prep work and also the post-production work. It really falls on you.
And depending on my week, now this is where we can use some help for sure, is promoting the episodes on social media. Mm-hmm. Like if we had a couple people willing to post stuff, that would just save us so much time.
Absolutely.
And I'm not great at that stuff. Like self-promotion, that's like not my forte. I mean, there's some weeks when I'm not doing other things where you'll see clips come out every day. And that's when I'm super prepared. But then sometimes we got weeks where
Good job at it. I'll give that to you. You really are able to put it out there. You do a great job, but it does take time over and above the production side. And part of my date night tonight after Mexican food, writing that proposal, I'm doing it for community engagement so that we will actually have somebody on team that loves doing marketing and getting communication out there with our partners, with our listeners, and able to support us in that way. Because, hey, as we grow, we want to stay connected, but we need to add more people to our team. So shout out for some prayers that we get accepted for a grant that I'm writing.
With that being said, the number one way to grow a podcast is word of mouth. So you listeners, thank you for sharing the podcast. We definitely appreciate that, and keep it up. Tell people about it. In fact, I found the best way to do it is you talk to someone who doesn't listen to a podcast and you ask them, hey, do you listen to podcasts? And they'll say, not really. And then you ask them, hey, what are you passionate about? What do you love? And then they'll say, oh, I love fishing or something. I don't know. That's what came to my mind. And then you can look up fishing on your podcast player right there on your phone and say, here's 100 amazing podcasts about fishing. And then they'll get excited about podcasting all of a sudden. And then you just say, here's one I like to listen to. It's Journey with Care. You should listen to that one too, because you want to learn to love your neighbors, right? So, yeah.
That is a huge gift for us, because maybe you're sitting there saying, hey, I'm a student or I'm broke and I can't necessarily give to support the work of Care Impact and the Journey with Care production, because there is a price to pay. That's okay. We're not asking you necessarily to give, but you sharing the podcast is a gift to us. In kind. So please keep inviting people to listen to episodes.
Yeah, repost on social media. I mean, this is starting to sound scripted, Wendy, like we kind of came up with this question, but it's not.
You know, it isn't.
It's a good segue to end the episode, though. I mean, we're pretty far in here already, unless we want to keep going on a longer episode. I don't know.
Well, I think there's a lot more questions, and I want to encourage people to keep putting in your questions because we will be receiving more after this. And I think we could be answering, if your question hasn't been answered yet, stay tuned in future episodes, because I think we could add more of these questions in throughout other future episodes.
And we'll be active on the Sojourners group at careimpact.ca/podcast or journeywithcare.ca. You can find it there as well. So if you have questions on there, you just want to get an answer, like, we'll be active on there answering questions.
Yeah, let's chat there.
Okay, so next week we are on the road. You might hear some highway noise in the background. Hopefully no police sirens chasing us down the highway.
Johan snoring behind the wheel.
Yeah. Hopefully we have a nice, quiet rental vehicle that is going to sound okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see.
But I know there's some crazies in the vehicle, so it might be a little bit of extra
noise.
It
might be you.
Might be me. Okay, until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Later.
Thank you for joining another conversation on Journey with Care, where we inspire curious Canadians on their path of faith and living life with purpose in community. Journey with Care is an initiative of Care Impact, a Canadian charity dedicated to connecting and equipping the whole church to journey well in community. You can visit their website at careimpact.ca or visit journeywithcare.ca to get more information on weekly episodes, Journey with Prayer, and details about our upcoming events and meetups. You can also leave us a message, share your thoughts, and connect with like-minded individuals who are on their own journeys of faith and purpose. Thank you for sharing this podcast and helping these stories reach the community. Together, we can explore ways to journey in a good way. And always remember to stay curious.